Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Today, as we move along in our study of 1 Peter chapter 3, we come to verses 5 and 6, wherein Peter gives some Old Testament examples of the New Testament precepts that he has been laying before the people of God. Because you really cannot preach the New Testament without regularly referring to the Old Testament. The New Testament builds upon the Old. Someone has said that the new is in the old concealed and the old is in the new revealed, and there's an awful lot of truth in that statement. It's a simple statement. I've heard it all of my life, but the older I get and the more I study the Word of God, the more I believe that that is exactly so. The New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. We're grateful to have the New Testament to help us to see it. Many of the Old Testament saints had difficulty seeing the truths relating to the New Covenant that were concealed within the Old Testament Scriptures. They were truly concealed. And the Old is in the New Revealed. That is, the Old Testament is made clear and plain by the New Testament Scriptures. Now, that's a concept that some people find difficult, but as I say, the more I live and study, the more I am convinced that that is exactly the case. And we have something like that before us today in 1 Peter chapter 3. So we'll look into that on this Wednesday, November 20. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for helping us financially teach God's Word on this station. Well, here's the text, 1 Peter 3, 5 and 6. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good, and are not afraid with any terror. Oh boy, if we stirred up a hornet's nest before by talking about the biblical instruction for wives to submit themselves unto their own husbands, we've really stirred it up now when we get to this statement, and particularly this phrase that Sarah called Abraham Lord. Well, this text continues instructions to believing wives. It is the last two of the six verses that address that topic in Peter's first epistle. And it reinforces and illustrates the instructions that Peter has already given in verses 1 through 4 with Old Testament examples. And so, first of all, Peter lays out some unnamed examples of inward beauty, back to verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. Unnamed examples. For in this manner, that is, in the way that Peter described in previous verses, in former times, that is, during the Old Testament era, this is the way that godly women conducted themselves. So, to understand what Peter is saying in verse 5, we've really got to review in our minds what he said in verses 1 through 4. So, with that in mind, I go back and read it. 1 Peter 3, 1 and following. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they may without a word be won by the conduct of their wives, when they behold your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the uncorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. Peter obviously expects his readers to know the Old Testament. He can make references to Old Testament women without naming any of them yet, though he will name one in a moment. And he expects his readers to be able to call to mind several examples from the Old Testament. Jewish women like Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Leah, who came to understand this very principle that true beauty is inward, not outward, and it is not most productive to spend all of your time and attention and money on adorning the outward appearance with hair and jewelry and the clothes you wear and so forth. But it is far more productive to work upon the inward, the hidden man of the heart, where the real beauty is found. And so here's a principle that is abiding. It is not a New Testament principle. It is a biblical principle. The principle lasts from the Old Testament through the New Testament. It begins even before the Old Covenant, which actually was inaugurated by Moses with the people of Israel. That's the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, though there are previous covenants to that. But when the Scriptures talk about the Old Covenant, they're talking about the Mosaic Covenant, but this predates that. Sarah certainly goes before that, as does Rebecca and Rachel and Leah and so forth. And furthermore, this helps us to understand, again, what Peter means when he says that your beauty as a woman, it does not depend upon your hair or your jewelry or your clothing. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. And we go back to the Old Testament, and we realize that the women in view here, whenever we can find out anything about them, did not go without jewelry. We don't really know much about their hairstyles. I don't think we can read anything about that in the Bible that I can recall to mind, except maybe some statements by some of the prophets denouncing the women of Israel in his day for overdoing it with their hairstyles. But the godly women that he's talking about here, I can't remember offhand any descriptions of their hairstyles, but we do find them upon occasion wearing jewelry, and I say upon occasion, as far as we know, they did it all the time. But occasionally we find some references to it. So again, I insist that a proper understanding of this whole instruction does not mean no jewelry, no attention to your hair, no makeup, any more than it means no clothing. It obviously doesn't mean any of those things, and this helps to reinforce what we have already concluded about it. But it does tell us that the principle is abiding. It doesn't confine itself to one particular era or time, but this is always true, and I think we already remembered that and agreed with that. But just to reinforce it now, this is always true, that outward beauty is fading and inward beauty can grow, and will if you give it the proper attention. Inward beauty doesn't grow automatically. It has to be attended to. Outward beauty fades automatically. You can't do anything to reverse that. Time is your enemy. Time is not on your side when it comes to outward beauty. I don't think you would disagree with me about that. We know that's true. We know that's true in our own lives. We know that's true in the human family generally. We just know that's true. It's so obvious that it hardly even needs expansion, but it does need to be to be put before people sometimes because they act as if it's not so, even though it is so obviously so. You can't reverse the clock, which doesn't mean that you shouldn't give any attention to your outward appearance, but you can't reverse the clock. It is a losing proposition, and the point that the scripture makes about that is, don't put all your attention upon outward appearance. Number one, it's the wrong thing to do, and number two, it's a losing proposition. But rather, attend to inward beauty, which can only be developed if you are a true Christian, having been regenerated by the Spirit of God, developed in the way that Peter is talking about here. Though, frankly, I think we could all say that even an unconverted woman can develop the inward qualities of the mind and of gracious speech and a cultured personality, which will not fade with time. Those things grow until, of course, Alzheimer's or something like that comes along, which robs us even of the mind, which again is why we have to give attention even to more than the mind. We have to give attention to the heart, the soul, to that part of the mind, and I think it is a part of the mind, that is generated by the Spirit of God and which constitutes the new man, the new person in those who have been born again. But this is an abiding principle. This is the way it was in the early era, in the days of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and even before that, of course, as well as the way it is in the days of Peter and the apostles and the early first century Christians, because many of the precepts of the Bible remain unchanged. Many of the principles of the Bible, I would say all of the principles of the Bible remain unchanged, and many of the precepts remain unchanged. This precept about women submitting themselves to their own husbands, that was a biblical precept in the Old Testament. That's a biblical precept in the New Testament. It doesn't change. Some things continue. Some things change. Very frankly, many of the old covenant precepts were abrogated and replaced with different ones in the new covenant. But some were reiterated. So some were abrogated, some were reiterated. How do we know which Old Testament law is abiding and applicable to us today? Study the New Testament. The New Testament will tell you. It's really pretty simple. There are some things, of course, that are challenging, but it's pretty simple, really. The New Testament will tell you. It will tell you what has been abrogated, such as dietary laws. It will tell you what is reiterated, such as the relationship between the husband and the wife, and the biblical instruction that the wives should submit themselves unto their own husbands. That's an abiding principle. It goes all the way back to creation. The New Testament tells us that. All the way back to creation, to the way that God made it from the beginning, when he made Adam and made Eve and joined them together, and the relationship which they had one with another. That principle has remained the same right on through all the ages, and will only be abrogated when we are with the Lord in heaven. Well, until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.